on Bachelor. The supply chain. Everybody talks about it like the weather, but what can be done? I go to John Ferguson, project manager at Economist Impact. This is part of the Economist Group, writing most recently about the supply chain and the word resilience. The unknowns right now include the pandemic, possibly for another act. We don't know. At the same time, the recovery from the 2020 impact of the virus is not complete before we introduce inflation, we introduce the unknowns of energy prices and access to energy. All of this adds up to bigger question marks than I thought we were going to have as we approach Thanksgiving in America. John is in the United Kingdom, so his point of view is both European and looking across the Atlantic. John, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I testify to supply chain. NVIDIA is a very high-end video card maker. Chips, big stuff. The thing that has slowed down all economic progress in, say, the automobile industry, and if you want to get a gas oven that knows what time it is. Okay, fine. However, NVIDIA is the highest of high-end, and I cannot find an NVIDIA video card anywhere at a reasonable or even unreasonable price. Is that the supply chain, or am I just ordering the wrong thing? Good evening to you, John.
Good evening, John. And thank you so much for having me. Yes, it is. And honestly, John, I mean, I've been covering trade and the global economy for at least a decade with the Economist Group and Economist Impact. But, John, if we were talking 2 or 3 years ago, we would not have been talking about supply chains. We would have been talking about maybe Trump, maybe the trade war, this sort of thing with China. But because of the pandemic, everyone's now talking about supply chains because it's impacting us in our homes. It's impacting the things we get. It's impacting how quickly they get to us. And now everyone realises that the supply chains of all these big organisations are really critical to how we live our lives. We wouldn't have been talking about this a few years ago, but we are now.
Trust. You emphasise in your posting that trust is necessary. Heck, John, trust is gone. Just gone. It vanished. In fact, I could say that we're into the reverse Adam Smith. He preached as 1776 that you go where the dollar is or the pound is treated best. We no longer do that. We're willing to pay premium prices just to get something delivered. Trust is gone.
That's right. Exactly, John. And this is the really key point for everyone to take away. Yes, there's supply chain issues right now, but if we're going to get out of this in the long term, we have to restore trust to global trade. And what I mean by that is we had a couple of decades when globalization just exploded. You know, supply chains were going around the world to where they were most efficient, to where the costs were most efficient for a given company. But in the last 4 or 5 years, we're now going backwards in that respect. Companies are now thinking about unraveling some of those globalized supply chains. And that's because of all these risks. It did start to have this impact when we had the US-China trade war, which still isn't resolved. But then, of course, we had the pandemic. So now companies who had maybe 15, 20 years of great globalization, free-flowing globalization, take your supply chains wherever you want globalization, now, after all these things have happened in the last few years, now it's about potentially reshoring. Now it's about regionalizing. Now it's about shifting your supply chains to be able to handle risk and become more resilient. So that's a huge shift in the global economy. But what we need to get back to is a situation where companies and people like us trust the global trading system. That's where we need to get back to.
You write that onshoring, which is a term of art along with reshoring, onshoring will not improve resilience. Why not, John?
It's a great point. And to be honest, I understand why governments, politicians talk about onshoring, right? So it's understandable. People want to see manufacturing brought back to their company. Here in the UK, or I'm from Australia originally, or there in the US, people like the thought of bringing manufacturing back to their shores. But the reason why I say that's not a solution, partly because wages are too high, and one of the reasons why supply chains went global was because there were more efficient ways of getting supply chains built. So they're very hard to bring back to say the US shore or the UK shore. But the other point is, the risks that now exist in the global economy still exist in the US and still exist in the UK. So just because you might onshore a certain part of your production doesn't make it any less risky than having it in other parts of Europe or other parts of Asia, for example. So it's not a way of dealing with risk.
Friendshoring, what is that? And why will that answer friendshoring?
These are some ridiculous terms, aren't they, John? Honestly, I didn't make that one up. It's worthwhile explaining what that means. So in a global economy that's defined by geopolitics, right? So that's US, China, and the battles and the strategic rivalry between the US and China. That's a big part of the global economy we have now. Now, when people talk about friendshoring, what they mean is companies and countries moving their supply chains to friendly countries, to so-called friendly countries. And the reason why this is becoming a term that people are thinking about is because they're worried about that US-China rivalry getting them in trouble. If they get caught on the wrong side of that rivalry in a certain market, the US might react or China might react and they get caught on the wrong side. So if you're a US firm or a European firm, you are thinking about friendshoring. You are thinking about moving your supply chains to countries that won't get caught between the US and China in their strategic rivalry. So again, it's not great for the global economy. You don't want companies to have to think about friendshoring, but it is something that is crossing their mind at this stage.
Energy is not ordinarily understood as part of the supply chain, but it is. And right now, Europe is caught without adequate resources of natural gas for the wintertime because geopolitics. That's certainly right. Part of the supply chain as well. A translation, does that mean that if I am depending upon anywhere in East Asia, container ships, something that needs to be shipped across the Pacific, I'm taking a risk? Have we got that far, John?
We're getting to that point, and that's why it's disappointing. That's why we need governments around the world, companies to come together and collaborate and say, we need to restore trust. Because these global supply chains are terribly efficient. The American companies, and some people might be listening to this right now, have spent years building up these efficient supply chains that go around the world because they trust, and we as consumers, trust that when we buy something from Asia, it will get through Asia, come across the Pacific and get over to the US or get over here to the UK. We trust that happens. But as the global trading system sort of unravels and people lose trust and all these issues of geopolitics and friendshoring, then we have a greater risk that those products might not get here. Or, as you said at the beginning, these products take a long time, 2 to 3 times longer than they should.
However, it is very popular for politicians to say we're bringing our manufacturing back. I believe one of the ways the Prime Minister is speaking, leveling up, which would mean returning manufacturing to Northern England. So that's a trend, John. That's not going to turn aside.
Absolutely.
Can we agree on that?
Absolutely. Yep. It's a political trend, John. I can see why they're saying it. But again, it's not going to happen. Just to add an important caveat, a really important caveat. When I look out for the next 10 to 20 years, John, I don't see traditional manufacturing making a comeback. But what I do see is more advanced manufacturing, right? So this is where we have products that aren't just physical products, but they have computer chips inside them. They're connected to the Internet of Things. And this type of advanced manufacturing, I think, could be done in the US and could be done in the UK. So not traditional manufacturing that we've maybe had over the last 50 to 100 years, but more advanced forms of manufacturing. I think if we fast forward, John, 10, 20 years, the types of products that we'll be buying and shipping around the world will be a lot more integrated. You know, economists have spent a century thinking about separation of goods and services. I think in 20 years' time, those two things will come together because the types of products will have both a physical good and there'll be, because of computer chips and technology, services will also be able to be provided through these products. So that type of integrated product, advanced manufacturing, that's where I think the future lies, manufacturing, not necessarily the traditional ones that we all think about.
John Ferguson is a project manager. This is The Economist Impact. This is a conversation about supply chains that I thought was behind us, but it isn't. We have unknowns to solve about the virus and its iterations. We have unknowns to solve about geopolitics. All you have to do is look at a map of Eurasia right now, and there are big questions that can't be answered. In the meantime, John is looking for a time, if there is such a thing, beyond the pandemic. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.